We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Chav Yaakov ben Pinchas Leia. We are in Shavuos Pereches Mishnah Vav, the final Mishnah in the Masechta. Heichan Shori, here we continue from the previous Mishnah. The Mashiel says to the Shoel, where is that Shor? Where is the ox that I lent you? Amar lo, Shoel says, Eni dematasach. I don't know what you're talking about. I never borrowed anything from you. Vehu shemeis, but in the end, he did borrow a cow. And it died for onish bar onish bo onignavo avad, or it broke its leg, it was taken captive, it was stolen, it was lost. In all of these cases, by claiming that he never borrowed it, it's a kfiras mamon. He's denying money, because in the end, if an onus really happened, he would be chayv to pay in mashbiach ani. And then the mashal says, so can I make you swear to that effect that I never lent it to you? V'amar the shul says, amen, yes, he responds in the affirmative. Chayav, and now we know what happens afterwards. He admits that he swore falsely. So then the shul is going to be chayv to pay. Obviously, the Karen add on a Chomesh and Chayiv the Asha Milos, his carbon, Chayiv the carbon for Kfiras Mamon, for the fact that there's a denial of money. He was supposed to pay because an onus happened, or Geneva Vaveda happened, certainly be Chayiv to pay. And by denying that he ever barred it, so he's, and now admitting, swearing falsely, and then admitting, he's Chayiv the Asha Milos, the Karen, and the Chomesh. What about the following? Omar Lenosa is Socher Vaha Socher. Let's say the owner of the ox says to a Shomer Socher, the paid watchman, or a Socher, one who's renting it, Heichan Shor, where's my Shor? And we know that the Shomer Sachar or the Socher are Pater from Onis, but Chayvin Geneva Veveda. So Amar Lo, so when the Baal of the Shor says to the Socher, the Nosi Socher, where's my Shor? So he responds, Amar Lo, Mace, it died. So now, by saying it died, so he's going to be, if that's really true, he's going to be exempt, because he's not chayv in onus. But in the end, what happened? Behuned shenishbar, meaning he lied, but what didn't really die, but rather it broke its leg. So here, it's true, he may have lied, he may have sworn falsely, but nonetheless, his shvua was not a kfiras mamon, because what ended up happening, the truth of what happened was that it broke its leg, for which is an onus, and he would have been putter anyway. Onishba, or let's say what really happened was it was taken captive. Remember, he claimed it died, but it broke its leg, it was taken captive. Or let's say the socha, the shamasacha said to the onishba, it broke its leg. But vahuba really happened, shemes onishba, it died or it was taken captive. Once again, another example where there's no real kfiras mamon, because although he swore falsely, what ended up happening was on the same level, it was onus anyway, he would have been exempt. Or let's say nishba, let's say he says to him, oh, it was taken captive. Who, but really happened, sheneshbo nishbar, it died or it broke its leg. In all of these cases, even though he wasn't telling the truth, since they're all onsin, he's not trying to, there's no kfiras mamon, he's not denying anything, he would have been putter anyway. So as we'll see, there's no carbon shvua in such a case. Carbon or payment, as we said. Nignav, let's say the owner says, oh, it was stolen. Vuhu shavad. Oh, meaning, no, rather, just the opposite. He says, what happened to my shore? He says, Nignav, it was stolen. But vuhu shavad. But in the end, it wasn't stolen. It was lost. So here, it's true, he has to pay in either case. He says, I think it was stolen. He has to pay anyway. The fact that he lied shouldn't make a difference, because whether it was stolen or it was lost, the fact that it was really lost doesn't matter, because he says it was stolen, for which he has to pay anyway. Avad, let's say he says, oh, it was lost. But in the end, it was stolen. Both of these cases, makes no difference whether he told the truth or not. He's chayv to pay. He's a shomer socher and a socher or chayv in Geneva Aveda. But let's say so. There's no so in all these cases, mashbiach ani va'amar amen. And if he says, oh, do you swear to that effect in these cases? And the shomer socher, the socher says amen in the affirmative, and then they admit that they lied. Potter, then achayv the carbon shvua sapikadon, because their shvua didn't help them at all. Either they were going to be potter either way, even if they had told the truth. Or they would have been chayv either way. Even their claim that they made, even though it was a lie, would have been chayv them anyway. In the previous case, meis onish bar onish ba. But let's say the shomer or the socher says to the owner when he says, where's my shor? And they say, oh, it died or broke its leg or was taken captive, meaning an ones happened. But who? But what really happened? Shenigna v'ovad, it was stolen or lost. Mashbiachani v'amar amen. And will you swear to that effect? They say, amen. Then, if they afterwards admit that they were lying, then chayav. Why? Because this is kfiras mamon. This is where they denied paying their shavua. Was they swore to the effect that it was really an onus, but what happened really was that it was stolen or lost, for which they'd be chayiv. By claiming it was an onus, they were trying to deny payment. In such a case, they're going to be chayiv the karban asham me'ilos and asham gzelos and the keren and the chomesh. Let's say the shomer the socher said to the owner of an onignav, it was lost or it was stolen. V'hu shemes. But in the end, you know, look at that, he's such a tzaddik. It was stolen or lost, for which I'm chayv today. But in the end, an onus happened. It died. Onishba, or it broke its leg, or it was taken captive, which are also examples of an onus. And he says, Mashbiachani, would you swear to that effect that it was lost? Vamarni, he says, amen, he swears. In the end, he admits, Pati's pata from a carbon shrua, because his shrua, he wasn't, why? Because through his shrua, he was chayiv himself to pay, but in the end, he was really pata from paying. Because they're putter and onsen, so obviously they're not going to have to pay. Bring a carbon asha milos, because there's no denial of mamon here as well. So here's the general rule when it comes to the carbon shavua sapikadon. Kol hamishana mechova lechova umiptur leptur umiptur lechova patur. Anyone who changes from chova lechova, meaning in the end he's chayv to pay, and through his shavua he's chayv to pay anyway. Or patur, meaning he tried to exempt himself with his shvua by claiming one thing, but had he admitted to it anyway, he would have been patur. Umi patur l'chova, or in this last case, where he's patur, for he is such a tzaddik, he's saying, I'm really chayev, but he really should have been patur. And through that shvua, he's trying to chayev himself, when he's really exempt, then patur is patur from the carbon shvua sapikadon, because there's no kfiras mamon in any of these cases. But you have to be mindful from something we learned in the beginning of the sechta, that he is chayev a carbon alavi because of Shua's bitroi, because he did swear falsely. Mechova leptur, but what's the classic case where you chayv? But if what really happened is he would something that he would be liable for, and through his shvua, which he lied about, he actually exempts himself from paying. Then by coming to admit afterwards is chayv the carbon of Shua Sapikadon. Then the Mishnah says, to conclude the Masechta, Zeha Klal, this is the general rule, Klan Ishba Lahakel Al Atzmo, Chayav, anyone who takes a Shvua to make things more light for himself, to exempt himself from paying, he's chayv a carbon Shvua. But Lahachmir Al Atzmo, if he's coming to be Machmir on himself, meaning he's not being makil, trying to be lenient for himself through a shvua, but rather he is changing from chova to chova or p'tur l'p'tur. So then he's like someone who's being machmir on himself. There's no difference whether he's being machmir on himself or it's on the same level. Chova to chova, p'tur p'tur. It is the same thing as going from patur to be chayev, making himself a tzaddik. So in all of these cases, patur, he's patur from a karban shvua sapikadon, for the reason that we explained above. Since his last statement seems to be redundant, there are those who actually don't have this girsa at all. Slik Maseches Shvuos, we begin Maseches Adios. A little bit of an introduction. Adios has a mix of different halachos. There's a Tosefta in Adios that says the following, and I quote, K'shenichnesu chachamim lekerem biyavner. We know that after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so the Sanhedrin moved from the Beis HaMikdash Shesev Lishik HaGazis to, at the request of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai from Vespasian, to the city of Yavne. And it says, when the Chachamim entered Kerem B'Yavne, Amru Asida Shoshe Adam Vakesh Dover Midivrei Torah Veina Motze. There's going to be a time in history when a person is going to seek out Divrei Torah, is not going to find them. Midivrei Sofim in Motze, or Dirabon is not going to be, he's not going to be able to find. Shnei Amar, in Amos Periches, Hine Yomim Ba'im, No Mashem, Yisho Tetu Levakeshes, Devar Hashem Lo Yimtso. So that's the pasuk. Shelo yedavar b'divrei Torah dome lechaveru, meaning there'll be so much machlokes that we won't be able to compare one halacha to another. Velo yimtzu halacha brura
umishna berura b'makom echad. You're not going to be able to find a very clear halacha, very clear mishnah, all in the same place. It's going to be halacha is going to be very vague. So the Gemara, and this is, if you look at Gemara Masecha Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lam Ches, this is discussed there as well. And the Tosefta continues, Amru Naschil Mehil V'Shamai, and we begin with Hillel and Shammai, and that's what we're going to do here as well. The Chachamim and Yavneh were involved in organizing the Halachos and Maseches Edios. As we said, they're all mixed up together, not really in any particular order, mostly based on the order of the Chachamim. We have a certain statement testified by certain Chachamim, so that's what we have. So we'll see, it's really a smorgasbord of different Halachos, and where were these Halachos stated or testified, as we'll see, the words are introduced, the Mishnais are often introduced by Hayid Rebbe Ploni. This particular Rabbi Tana testified. So these are the Gemara Maseches Brachos says on Daf Chav Ches, Edios bo bayom nishnes. The day that Rabbi Gamliel was deposed after embarrassing Rabbi Yeshua and they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azari in his place, this is where they removed away the shomer, the guard who was at the Pesach, the doorway who said, if ain tocho kevaro, if your inside doesn't match your outside, you can't enter the Beis HaMedrash. That was Rabbi Gamliel's policy. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azari allowed everybody in. So when everyone came in, they were able to, people had traditions and had learned things, and they testified to certain halachos they had learned in the name of certain Tanoim, and that was also known as Maseches Edios from testimonies, also called Bechirasa. These were the choicest of halachos, and that was another name of the Maseches. As we'll see, there's no particular order here, and we begin the Masech, the Perek Aleph Halacha, Mishnah Aleph, with respect to a halacha that relates to the laws of Nida. Shammai Omer, this is a machlokes, Shammai and Hill, not Beis Shammai, this is Shammai and Hill themselves, as we'll see, Mishnais, the first three Mishnais have machlokes, Shammai and Hill themselves. So Shammai Omer, Kol Hanashim, Dayon, Sha'atan. That literally means, it's Dayon, it's Day, it's enough, Sha'atan, their time. It was speaking about the fact that a woman who becomes an Ida, who menstruates, she becomes Tamea. And if she touches, let's say, foods that are, we call them taharos, foods that are supposed to remain tahor, and she potentially could mitame them. So that's very serious. So in order to avoid that, obviously we have to, it's important, or at least to know when food has become tamei tahor, or to make sure that she doesn't touch them, we need to know when does the status of nida actually set in. So based on the pasuk, zav, that is the pasuk at the end of Parshas Metzora, Vayikra Tezvav. The halacha is that a woman is considered a nida once the blood leaves the uterus, even if it hasn't left the body. That's what it means. Dozova bivsara, even if it flows bivsara, afalpi shehu bivsara, the Mishnah inida perakei, Mishnah Aleph says. So the question is, if a woman begins to menstruate, how do we know if it's true that she potentially was a nida from the time that the blood left the womb, and that we don't know when that could have been? That certainly wasn't necessarily right now. So maybe in the last couple hours or a day or whatever it is, she touched certain foods and it became tummy because she had really, the dam left the makor all the way back a few hours ago. And maybe the food she touched in the interim actually became tummy. So how do we decide this? Shammai says, and we'll see, that in the Mishnais we have a Machlokes Shammai and Hillel, and the Chachamim, we follow the opinion of the Chachamim. Shammai says, Kala Nashim Dayan Shat, and he's lenient. It's enough to consider them Tameos Nida from the moment that they actually see the blood, and from that then on, then any Taharos, any certain food she touches will become, or it could be Kalim as well, will become Tame. But we don't have to be concerned that maybe the Dam left the Makor before this time, and maybe things she may have touched even before she sees blood will become Tameh. The Hillel Omer, Mipkida Lepkida. Now we have to be strict, which means, well, Pekida means a Bedika, where she inspects herself. So the halacha is that it all depends on the last time she checked herself. If the last time she checked herself was, let's say, 48 hours ago, so then she did an internal examination, so then we assume that anything, and now she starts bleeding, So the only time, if 48 hours ago she saw she was clean, so that means we have to be concerned that anything she touched within the last 48 hours is tame. Could be that she checked herself only an hour ago. So an hour ago she was clean, and now an hour later she sees blood. So now, okay, anything she touched within the last hour. So this could be very strict. If the last bedik was very recent, so obviously we have the right to be lenient. So it all depends on the last time she checked herself and finding she was clean. If she hasn't checked herself in 24 hours, let's say, so we have to assume the last 24 hours, if she bleeds now, if 24 hours later, anything she touched within the last 24 hours, potentially we have to treat as tame. So that v'hilul omer mipkida lepikida, afilu yamim harbe. Even if there are many days that pass between the last bedika and now, Beis Hillel's machmir regarding taharos, and says we have to assume that maybe she started bleeding right after the last bedika, and that's Beis Hillel being machmir. So vachachamim omrim lo kidivezeh velo kidivezeh. Chachamim say, no, I have a compromise opinion, not as lenient as Shammai, and not as strict as Hillel, but rather elameis leis mimaetes al yad mipikido lepikido. Just translate literally. A meis leis is a 24-hour period. A 24-hour period is the time of 24 hours can be mimaetes, can diminish the pikido lepikido, can diminish the time from one bedika to another. So what we're saying is, let's say the last bedika she did was 48 hours ago. So according to Beis Hillel, we have to assume that anything she touched within the last 48 hours we have to treat it as tameh. But said the Chachamim, no, we're never going to go more than 24 hours. So 24 hours, Me'es Le'es, will diminish Beis Hillel's Chumra of going to the last Bedika. You never have to go more than 24 hours, even though the last Bedika may have been more than 24 hours ago. We only have to treat the things she touched within the last 24 hours as Tameh. But Umipikida Lepikida Mima Etas Al Yad Me'es Le'es. But it goes the other way as well. And that is that one Bedika, do we have the right to be lenient in this regard, that the bedikos, assuming they were done within less than 24 hours, that can diminish the 24 hours. So let's say, for example, she did a bedika 5 hours ago and saw that she was tahora, there was no blood. So that means that we only have to be strict in the last 5 hours. If she bleeds now and says, I did a bedika 5 hours ago, I was clean. So, okay, anything that you touched within the last 5 hours, we don't have to worry about. We don't have to go back to 24 hours. So the 24 hours comes to limit the chumrah of assuming bedika was more than 24 hours ago. But the bedika, if she actually did a bedika less than 24 hours ago, so you don't have to go back to 24 hours. You only have to assume things were tameh. She touched things, had she touched tataros within that time period of the 5 hours of since last bedika, only those you have to be machmir about. Then the Mishnah says, Kalisha sheyesh la veses daya shaita. If you have a woman, has a veses kavua, has a regular cycle, and it's a permanent cycle, consistent cycle, so then we have the right to say diashaita. Literally, it's sufficient to assume that she became Tamea right at this moment in the time that she saw blood. The Gemara says that we're speaking about assuming where the woman saw blood at Bishas Vesta, the time that she normally gets her period. But if she saw it at a different time, so then she's going to have to follow the halacha in this Mishnah that we mentioned just before. Hamishamesh Be'idim harezo kipkida. Is this in Mishnah saying that a woman who has tashmish and she cleans herself before and afterwards for the purposes of a bedika to see if there's any bleeding, then she has every right to use that as a bedika for the purposes of this halacha? So even though she may not be cleaning herself, inspecting herself for the purposes of seeing if she's in need or not, if she has that practice before and after Tashmish to do bedika, so then that bedika can count with respect to the halacha we're discussing, and she only has to worry from the last bedika till the point where she started bleeding. Then the Mishnah says, and then Mishnah explains what that means. That is like a pekida. If she mishameshes be'idim, she uses a cloth before and after Tashmish, so then Harezu Pkidit's considered like a bedika, and therefore, Mima Etes al Yad Me'es Le'es, of Al Yadami Bikidu Bikida. What it does is it's able to diminish the 24-hour amount of time, as well as another official inspection she may have done. This inspection she does during Tashmish can count for that as well. So let's say, for example, let's say she did an official Bidika, let's say 15 hours ago, but she had Tashmish and did a bedika just for tashmish purposes, and she happened not to see blood. So that is considered a bedika enough for nida purposes, so that she does not have to go back to the 15 hours ago. We can assume only since, let's say she did it 2 hours ago, and then she started bleeding, and she did it, that bedika was a tashmish bedika, that is sufficient, and she only has to worry about potentially being mitame taros, that any foods she may have touched with only the last 2 hours are foods she has to be worried about, not back to 15 hours.